For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to everybody out there in Sports Daily land. Glad to be here with you. Paul Savage in for Tommy on a Wednesday. We hope you are catching the fever and are rocking your Hawaiian, if at all possible, today to work, to play, whatever it is. Join in the movement. Paul and I have decreed that this is a day for your best Hawaiian. It's a day for parts of middle of the week. You got to mix things up a little bit. Paul, does Jad have on a Hawaiian right now?
He does not. I'm very, very disappointed in him. In fact, we're going to put him on like a five-minute probation. Starting now, Jad, you're on probation for 5 minutes.
Let's not do that. Let's stay on the air. Jad, of course, okay. Keeping things running for us. Right. He's got the IHOP hotline for you today, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, and it's all-you-can-eat pancake deal, which runs through September 15th.
Yeah.
We got a big show today coming for you.
Very good.
We appreciate everybody for listening to us on KFH, listening to us on the Odyssey app, also watching us on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, and X. But we have lots of content today as we are into the fall swing of things. We're going to have our KU insider, Sri Islata, joining the program at the bottom of this hour to get ready for KU's football opener. Excited about that conversation. Get all caught up on the offseason. All the latest there with KU football. I'll ask him the question Tommy and I have bantered about all offseason on, you know, whether it's fair or unfair to still question Jalen Daniels' health. So we'll get the latest there from Shreyas and what he's hearing and seeing at practice every day. That's coming for you again at the bottom of the hour. Top of the hour, Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, stops by to get us caught up on all the latest with Shocker News. Volleyball's played an exhibition. We continue to rev up for basketball, and there are some, you know, some things happening logistically with the NCAA and rules around the country that we'd like to get his take on. The transfer rules are perhaps changing a little bit. So we'll do that with Kevin Saul, top of the next hour as well. It is the day after Chiefs cut day, which is obviously significant because they had some key decisions to make, a few surprises, a few we wondered about, and a few that we expected. But we'll take a look at that as it comes to the Chiefs roster, as they're now a week and a day away from opening the season. And we'll talk about the Royals. Three straight now for Kansas City. Winners over the Guardians, tied for first place. A rain delay smack in the middle of the game last night. If you stayed up late and caught the end of it, you know that the Royals ended another one and have a chance now for a sweep of the Guardians in Cleveland. How about that, Royals fans? We'll get into all of it throughout the show today. Your calls and comments are welcome with it as well. We'll have two giveaways for you today. Music fans, we'll get you a chance to see Cody Jinks at Entrust Bank Arena. That's coming up in a little bit. And we'll get you some HTO, free iced tea and free rain coffee. So a lot of reasons to be with us today. We're glad you are. Paul, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Ready for another Hawaiian Wednesday. It's really becoming a part of my life. It's what I look forward to. It gives me a reason to get up on Wednesday morning. So, you know, really and truly, join the movement, everybody. It's liberating.
It is. It's always feels good to let everybody know you're ready for a party. All right, Paul, let's start with cut day. And we'll get to Royals fans. Don't fret. We'll get lots on the Royals today, too. But let's start with cut day.
All right.
I think the most surprising to me, and maybe it's not surprising to everybody, was that Lucas Niang did not make it. They are going with some younger players there. So that was the first one that caught my attention. The most talked about was the decision on Kadarius Toney, and they do not keep Kadarius Toney, which is not a surprise at all. It was just we wondered, A, how many receivers are they going to keep, and B, would they chisel out that role for Kadarius Toney, which I'm fairly convinced at the beginning of this offseason they had one chiseled out for him, and he just did not have a good, you know, camp/preseason. So the receivers now, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Justin Watson. We knew those five would be in. Then the question became, would they keep six or seven? Which of those guys would they keep? Will they keep both Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman? So they are going to roll with seven. And probably those last two are going to be relegated to special teams, I would imagine. They traded for a tight end, Paul, Peyton Hendershot from the Cowboys, right before the cuts came. So they'll carry seven wide receivers and four tight ends.
Correct. That's what's that right now.
That's 11 pass catchers, which is fairly interesting. So, okay, where is it thin? Well, they're only going to carry two quarterbacks. They're only carrying Mahomes and Wentz. They let Book and Olodokun go back. I don't think that is surprising. Because they can do that, and they have done that in the past. Three running backs only, as Denarik Prince does not make it. I wondered if they'd only roll two out there, but they do keep Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Carson Steele, the story of the preseason, does make the roster. I am fully convinced that he will be the backup to Isaiah Pacheco. They are clones of each other in a lot of ways. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire is more of a safety piece. Otherwise, you know, a lot of names on the defensive side that, you know, the beats and the bloggers and everybody are way into of the headliner guys, though I think we have it covered there. What did you think of some of the Chiefs roster decisions?
Well, I like the fact you're keeping Carson Steele. That gives the, you know, I've always said that the ability to have somebody that you can play power football with is always good for every football team. Not everybody believes that, though. You know that, Jacob. You know, we live in a world of spread the field out, right? That's what we believe in nowadays. But I like the fact that Carson Steele is on this football team. It gives you a chance to run power off tackle, a little bit of ISO. It makes defenses have to line up in a more honest way, so I do like that. I'm not surprised at Toney. I'm not surprised that he was cut. You know, he hasn't been the same receiver as he was, say, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe?
2 years
ago. Let's say 2 years. That's fair enough. But I'm not surprised he didn't make this team. I think that was smart. I don't have a problem with much of a problem at this point. My only question is the four tight ends. That's a little unusual. Usually you don't see that. But on the other hand, you know, what Kansas City does with their tight end is a traditional tight end, as you well know. You know, Travis Kelce gives you a chance to line up in so many other formations. I mean, Travis Kelce is more than just a guy that lines up at tight ends. He lines up in the slot. He lines up in the backfield. He lines up in the Z. He lines up in the A. He lines up anywhere on the field, and he's used with a variety of routes. So I guess my only surprise, you know, I guess I'm not surprised. I've just talked myself into not being surprised because, you know, you do so much more with that position with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not going to say much more, but a lot more than I would say the average NFL team. So I don't have any surprises really on offense. It kind of came down to where we thought it would be, didn't it? I mean, no surprises. I mean, we're not surprised about Toney. We're not surprised that he was cut.
No.
Not at all. I'm not. Maybe some are, but I'm not.
No. I don't think anybody's surprised by it. It's more of what decision, which direction were they going to go? I
mean,
He did everything he could to be cut.
Fair enough.
It was just, and look, there was no pressure for the Chiefs to keep him.
No.
Anybody that says they gave up too much to get him, it's like, guys, they won two straight Super Bowls. Okay, they obviously did not. Right. He was a big part of one of them.
Yeah, it seemed like the thing to do at the time, didn't it?
Well, it's fine. It, you know, like you can. That's the luxury you get if you're Brett Veach is to be risky. Patrick Mahomes affords you the ability to be aggressive and risky. He does.
That's well said. That's accurate.
The Frank Clark trade. For what they gave up and what they paid him, he did not live up to that, but he gave them massive playoff moments, right? So he helped them win Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So did they give up too much, and did he live up to the contract in totality? Probably not. I would say no, but he helped them win a couple of Super Bowls. Yeah, so, that's fine. Yeah,
sure.
Orlando Brown gave up too much. Was he as good as, you know, what the, no, but he helped them win a couple of Super Bowls. So fine, who cares? And the same thing happens. Sky Moore, moderately high draft pick, didn't work. Fine, who cares? He's been on the rosters of two Super Bowl teams. Same with Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney's been a much larger factor, both positively and negatively, than Sky Moore has. But he wasn't working out now. Like, there's no, you know, a lot of teams, I think, in those moments feel the pressure. Like, we invested a lot in this guy. We got to kind of see it through. The Chiefs don't have to do anything. They've won two straight Super Bowls. All they need to do is win their third Super Bowl. If they don't feel like Kadarius Toney can help them do that, then it's an easy decision. I don't know how easy the decision has been and for how long. I don't think they entered this, Paul, preseason thinking Kadarius Toney was not going to be a part of the roster, but he didn't perform, and fine. And he'll probably find a spot if he already has, and I haven't checked, because he's got some abilities and some unique talents that only he can provide. It just isn't going to be in Kansas City right now, and it's no big deal. They keep seven. Mecole Hardman, I would assume this means he's a return man. I don't know what the role is, although they've mentioned that they like Sky Moore in special teams, so maybe that's his role. I still hope he is able to, you know, develop further and become something for this team. But it was Lucas Niang that surprised me probably the most. Now, maybe he was always a possibility there, but, you know, depth on the line, experience, veteran depth is paramount. But I think if we look back at this entire offseason and they're this comfortable with Kingsley Suamataya at left tackle, the rookie, that could be a home run pick, Paul. To have an affordable left tackle for at least 4 years, if he's the guy, is going to allow a lot of flexibility. They have thrown tons of money, tons of draft capital, everything they can to try and solve that. Mm-hmm. If they indeed did with a second-round rookie, that will end up being the most significant thing they probably did all offseason long. Mm-hmm. No matter what these talented receivers they brought in do, if you've got Mahomes' blind side solved with a second-round rookie, that will be a major coup for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, after all, it's such an important position. But by the way, it's such an important position. They named a movie after it with Sandra Bullock, you know. So it's really, really, I mean, the importance of that particular position is incredible. And you're right. If this ends up taking and he becomes serviceable, and more than serviceable, if he becomes really good and stays fairly injury free, that is a huge pickup for a second round draft pick. Man, that's not bad, is it? That is not bad at all. So let's see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. There's going to be a learning curve, though. You understand that. There's going to be more because, well, first of all,
that's why I was surprised they let Niang go.
Yeah. Well, and part of the thing about being Patrick Mahomes, having that quarterback, you're the one protecting him, is that he creates so much in the pocket. He does so many things that sometimes it's hard to know just quite where he is at that time, what he's doing, what's on his mind, what he's seeing downfield, what he's seeing defenders do. Let's face it. Patrick Mahomes is a very, very difficult quarterback to be
I blindside to block for, sure.
That's right.
But you've got to create some synergy. And Mahomes knows that. Look, Mahomes does that intentionally. He knows that he's putting himself at risk as far as the left tackle goes when he makes those types of decisions. But it like the idea of being consistent and potentially good at left tackle for 4 years,
based on
what the Chiefs have gone through to get. I mean, remember the Buccaneers Super Bowl loss where Mahomes was under siege. And then you had Orlando Brown come in and all the contract disputes. And he was fine, but he was never as good as he wanted to get paid for, at least in the Chiefs' mind, right? He ended up getting paid, and that's okay. And then, you know, you bring in Well, you bring in Juwan Taylor with the thought that he can make the conversion. He doesn't. He's never even played left tackle for them. Donovan Smith was serviceable last year, but not good. So now they go again and they try to attack again. High draft pick. If it works, it will be the most significant thing they've done. So we can talk more about the roster cuts, your thoughts on them out there on the IHOP hotline. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Royals before we get some back-to-back insiders and guests coming up for you on the show today. Let's give away some HTO in the first hour today. So we have 20-plus flavors of iced tea, free, sweet and unsweet. You'll get a free iced tea and... you'll get a free iStore hot coffee featuring Free Rain Coffee, now featuring the fall flavors, the all-new fall flavors, Dirty Chai Apple Crisp or Butter Pecan Mocha. So you can get one of those and try them out. All you got to do to win is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. We'll get you a winner there. We'll have Cody Jinx concert tickets to give away in the second hour. Stick around. A little Royals talk coming your way next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in. Boy, Savage Paul, I mean, Tom doesn't know what he's missing out on. It's just on the party that has become Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays with Paul Savage in for Tommy Caster.
Thank you.
If you need to see the collection, you can go back and watch the show on the 12 News Connected app in the past. You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app. We appreciate it however it is that you take in the show. I know the podcast form. Look, if you're into podcast, if you're just driving around and you can't listen to us the whole time, Jad puts these up on the Odyssey app. You can podcast the entire show. It's fantastic. I love consuming things that way on your time. All right, Paul, let's talk Royals last night. 6-1 win, third straight against the Guards, tied for first place now. Got to love baseball, right? You got to love baseball. Mm-hmm. If I told you, Paul, that in the first three games of this series, the two different starting pitchers would leave the games early because of injury. If I told you they would have to lean on the bullpen a tremendous amount in this series, the other start you got wasn't particularly good out of your starter. It had been a bullpen-heavy series, and they would have won all three of the first games. You'd have called me crazy, especially coming in.
Well, of course I would have called you crazy.
Right. But the bullpen last night. So Michael Lorenzen tweaked his hamstring in the game on a defensive play. And in comes Carlos Hernandez, who did a pretty nice job. Pretty nice job. 2 1/3, gave up a run, but he navigated it, inherited some stuff. And then you had the rain delay. And after the rain delay, Paul, you got 5 no-hit innings out of the bullpen. 5. Including 2 of them from James MacArthur, who, again, it's a little dicey, but his stuff is electric. He struck out 4 batters in 2 innings. Mm-hmm. So I really hope he can find his form a little bit and continue to do that. Long continues to be really good. Schreiber continues to be good. And then Chris Stratton with a big lead came in, and it was good to see him give a clean inning. He's probably not going to factor into high leverage things the rest of the way. But it's been the bullpen, largely, Paul, that has given this team the boost in this series. And coming into the series, we were largely concerned about that particular group, but because of some flexibility on the roster, because of a doubleheader and some other things, they've got some reinforcements there. And now we're starting to see some, you know, some positive things. It's all about, do they have enough of them to get them down the stretch? When we get to the postseason, we know it's going to shrink down to 3, maybe 4 guys that the Royals will likely ever use out of their bullpen. And I think they have that many, but they still got to get there because their starting pitching is not been great lately. These are good signs, not especially because it's coming against the Guardians in Cleveland. That part's obvious. So I love it. It was another fun win if you're a Royals fan, and they're doing it in ways that we haven't really seen them do it this year.
Mm-hmm. Didn't see it coming, though. I didn't see 75 and 58. I'm looking at the box score right now as we speak. Kansas City Royals 75 and 58. Cleveland Guardians 75 and 58. It's almost like it's magic. You know, it was just 2 weeks ago. It was just, well, in fact, it was last week we talked about, well, you know, we got to keep an eye on the wild card. We're in good shape for the wild card. We, you know, there's an excellent chance. And now we're talking about winning the division. I mean, this is just what an amazing amount of football, of baseball that is still left to be played. And there's a lot. And in the world of baseball, this is a lot of baseball. You know, still a whole month to go. We'll see what happens. But, man, wouldn't that be something if I mean, would you have ever predicted, if we'd have been talking this time 1 week ago, that coming out of this particular series with Cleveland, that the Royals could be leading the division? I think if you would have said that to me on air, I would have had to say, are you nuts?
A week ago, maybe. But you needed some help from Cleveland, yeah. And they're getting it. You know, they're getting that help from Cleveland. Minnesota is falling back. Paul, right now, the Royals are 2.5 games clear of the Twins, mm-hmm. which is handy. They're 4 games clear of Boston. Don't look now, but Detroit is actually on fire. They've won 5 in a row. They're above 500. They have become very much a player. Tampa won't go away. They're 6 games back in Seattle. Continues to let their fans down. They're 5.5. But the reality is the Royals are now. So you want to, of course, be ahead of Cleveland. But it's all the positioning matters. This year in baseball, it's never been this tight top to bottom. There's not going to be a 100-win team. Like it's been very, you know, spread out this year. The Royals are just 2 games clear of that top wild card spot. They're just 2 games back there. So the number of paths opening for the Royals to reach the postseason is growing a great deal, right? Whether it's by winning the division, whether it's by being the last wild card spot, the second wild card spot. And now through this, the first wild card spot is coming back into play just like the division is. So that's what you like to see with all of this is that there for a little while, you know, within the last even month, it was like, okay, they've got to just be able to get that last wild card spot. That's the goal. That's the focus. But now you've opened it up to, you can get any of the 3 wild card spots, or you can win the division. So it basically went from 1 spot we thought might be available to now 4. And as they continue this tough part of the schedule, that is what you want to see out of this team. Now we're cooking to get this team into the postseason. Now we can begin to think again about what a postseason roster might look like and all of these things. And, you know, the offense continues to be ahead of the starting pitching at the moment, as the starting pitching has bailed out this entire team for much of the year. So it's just, look, they won 3 games against Cleveland. There's not much negative we're going to say when that happens. The concern certainly is that Cole Reagans and Michael Lorenzen have both left their starts due to injury in those 3 games. And that becomes a massive concern as you make your way through. But we'll see if either of those guys needs any time on the IL. So far, they don't. But, you know, time will tell. They've got a little depth there. They'll be okay. They just got to get to the postseason healthy.
Well, and it's a fascinating thing to watch because I just didn't see this coming. You didn't. I don't think you saw this coming, but it sure is fun to watch.
When? I mean, I saw it. I've been on the train since about May 1st, but the offseason, it would certainly be a best-case scenario.
It sure would, and that's the beautiful thing about baseball. By the way, you know, what's the best team? What's the best team in the American? Do you like the Yankees or the Orioles?
As the best team?
Yeah, best team.
Somebody asked me yesterday what I thought a World Series would be. I really haven't thought about that. I joked with them. I was like, "Oh, Royals and Brewers in the least watched World Series of all time." Because they said their answer was Yankees Dodgers in the most watched World Series. I was like, "Well, how about Royals Brewers? Give me that." Like, because I don't care about those major market teams or whatever. I don't know who I like out of the American League. I would tell you this. I don't like anybody definitively more than the Royals. And that's what's exciting to me. I think, and I've said this before, if the starting pitching is close to what it was early in the year, top to bottom, I think the Royals have the most complete roster.
Well, why not?
They have the most dangerous middle of the lineup. Right. They have the deepest starting rotation. And it looks like with Urcig now, they've got a plenty good back of the bullpen. Right. So, I mean, there's not anybody I'm looking at and saying, oh, yeah, I mean, there's probably, you know, on paper better lineups, but the production, the proof is in the pudding.
Right.
They've been as productive as anyone.
Yeah, if you haven't checked the standings lately, if you're listening to this show, Listen, the Royals are three games behind the New York Yankees, who's leading the Eastern Division. You know, with that killer three-man beginning. I mean, you know, you got Soto, you got Judge, you got. I mean, it's just an amazing lineup. Three games back, three back.
Yeah, and the Royals Jacob, have a back. More productive middle yeah. of the lineup. That's okay. Right. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little KU football here. Shreya Zlatas, our KU insider, back on the program. First time for the new athletic season. We're very excited about that. Shreya will join us on our video stream. If you're watching us on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, or X, you'll hear him right here on KFH next. KU talk coming your way on Sports Daily right after this.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreya Zlatas.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to Sports Daily. We've got our first visit this season with Shreya Zlatas, our KU insider. You'll find his work at the KC Star. We appreciate Shreya being back in. Now, something that you'll have to know as we've moved your day to Wednesday, we have declared Wednesday Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Trius, you strike me as a man who owns a Hawaiian or two. Would that be a correct assumption?
More of a knitted polo kind of guy, but I think I have a Hawaiian or two in the inventory. I haven't worn Hawaiian in a long time, but
we're joining on that one. It's liberating. There's no better way to get through a Wednesday. Than that. How is everything going up there in Lawrence? We've got the excitement building now for what should be as exciting or hopeful a season as we've had in a generation for KU football.
Yeah, I think the excitement and kind of the hype around this team is probably the most it's been ever, I'd say. You know, maybe 2008. I can't tell you because I was, I think, 10 years old at that point. But I haven't seen this many people excited about Kansas football and the expectations of what Kansas football can be this year, between from the team to the fan base to the coaching staff to even guys like Travis Goff, et cetera. It there's a lot of hype, and just being around the team, it feels very different than even last year felt. And last year they won 9 games. I mean, I was doing my game by game picks, and I've talked about it before, but they have the opportunity to kind of get close to being undefeated. I mean, that K-State game is the only real one that I think they won't be favored in.
That's a good place to start, Shreyas, the schedule. They got some good fortune, we think. Based on preseason expectations for all these teams, KU has the opportunity. They got good fortune in scheduling. How much, though, do you think that will change with the conference? Because, the conference is going to be good top to bottom. I want to be optimistic about the schedule, but I want to be realistic, too, in that there's a decent chance some of the teams that get projected to the bottom are not, in fact, at the bottom. So, I mean, how much should KU fans even allow that to creep into the equation this year?
Well, I mean, I think the end of the day, even if some of these teams are better, I don't think anybody besides Kansas State has a definitive claim on being better than them overall. And I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, but even with Carter Stanley about this yesterday, like even with Kansas State, they might be better on the offensive and defensive line positions. I'd say KU's skill positions, especially in the offensive end, and even the secondary, is probably better or equal to Kansas State. There's obviously going to be some teams that I think will be better than people project them. Iowa State always plays better than usually projected. West Virginia looks to be taking another step forward with the young running back duo they have. Those two games could be tricky. TCU, I don't know what to expect out of them. They're 2 years removed from being national championship contenders. And, last year they had a rough year because a lot of guys graduated. I think they'll take another step forward, even if they're not as good as that point. I think at the end of the day, this Kansas team has continuity. They have 30 seniors returning from last year. They have, a coaching staff that has been there for a while. There should be an expectation that they go in as favorites, whether they're home or on the road, for every game this season except Kansas State.
Shreyas, Paul Savage here. Thanks for coming on today. We sure appreciate it. One of the things that I would like to mention and get your opinion on is that over the last, let's say, 5 to 7 years, you know, physicality has always been a concern, particularly in the trenches for the University of Kansas on both sides of the ball. But I'm going to speak to you for a moment just about the offensive side of the football on the offensive line and the concern of how physical a football team. We watched Florida State football game, which Florida State was not near as physical up front as Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech ends up winning that football game. That's my concern with the University of Kansas. Can you talk a little about just how improved physically, and I'm talking about getting off the ball, getting movement, you know, those kind of being able to pass set, all the things that you need to do as an offensive line. Talk about this group overall. Is it better? Is it more physical? That's my real question. Is this group more physical? You go to a place like Utah or wherever you go in this Big 12, you got to be physical.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think they've brought in Bryce Foster, Texas A&M. He's going to be the center of this group. You know, he had just 2 years ago, he was an all freshman SEC player. And that level of talent, former five-star coming to Kansas, in itself is a big deal. But the fact that they have that, you know, coming to replace Monk Nowinski, who was a really great center. But Bryce Foster, talent-wise, he's just – kind of blows them out of the water. And everything I've heard about this team is they're bigger, they're faster, they're more stronger. The physicality has looked really good during training camp. Obviously Donapuni left for the NFL. That's a left tackle position they have to fill. And I'm curious to see how Logan Brown does. And obviously Bryce Cabledew is on the right side. But just looking at where this Kansas team is, they look bigger than last year. They look fitter than last year. Even guys who like weren't necessarily the most known for being as fit as they are, guys like not Trevor Cardell, but Jared Casey, they've lost 10 to 15 pounds. Not to go fluff it up and say everyone's in the best shape of their lives, because everyone loves to say that every offseason, but they look as good as I've seen them in the 2 years I've been covering Kansas football.
Shreyas, look, it's all about Jalen Daniels. Like, these things are more important, but as far as the headline grabbing stuff, Tommy and I have disagreed throughout the offseason. I think it is very fair to question his health. Tommy is more, and Tommy's not here, so I'm speaking for him just a little bit, but he's of the belief that they say he's healthy. Coach says he's healthy. He says he's healthy. We should think he's healthy. I don't know how you can do that when you've seen the last couple of years. They are saying he's healthy. He will play in the opener, which is the best sign we could have gotten. But at what point do we let go of what we've seen in the past and just assume he's fully healthy? Have you seen him, talked to him, gotten any indication? Is the back better? I mean, it's a back injury.
Yeah, I think he's completely back to normal. We're as close to as you hope him to be. They're playing him like he is back to what he was once was. He's talked about being ready. I mean, he talked about it, I think, in Big 12 media days, that if tomorrow I had a game, I could play right now, you know, like, and they were still kind of cautious at that point. You know, they weren't fully putting him back to everything. They've been very cautious with back injury because, like you said, and we all know, this Kansas, the special season that Kansas hopes to have this year, hinges on Jalen's ability to play at least 9 to 10 games. Yeah. Like, we haven't gotten Jalen a full season of football in any of the years he's played football. So that is a big thing to me that worries me with this Kansas team, is how dependent are you on the health of Jalen Daniels? And we all know they are dependent, but can you get by if he has to miss a few weeks here and there? You know, you want him out there for the majority of the season. Maybe it's not 12 games, 13 games, whatever, but you want him there for at least 9 or 10. And right now, the way they've handled the injury is cautious. They've been, I think, so cautious because they know how important he is. But it seems like he's doing everything back to normal. Lance is confident in, you know, what he's seen from Jalen. The coaching staff seems pretty happy and excited about him being out there and doing what he does best. And, I think Jayhawk fans are going to be excited. I will say this, though. I don't think you can be out of the woods until we're done with the season. Like, I have to see Jalen Daniels be healthy for a full season before I sit there and tell you, yeah, I'm not worried about that. Because last year, the entire year, like, we were all, he's going to come back, if something's going to happen. You know, like, it was a lot of different things that happened. Until that doesn't happen again, or until he can show that, hey, I'm going to be out there for 12 games. And he's a fantastic quarterback. We know when he plays. the biggest thing is durability and the ability to not get injured. And he's been unfortunate on that end. And I think for Kansas fans, they have to ask themselves, be optimistic that he's healthy, and he is. But all remember the back of your mind, you know, that an injury for Jalen Daniels wouldn't necessarily be something that I'd be super surprised about, because he hasn't been healthy since he's come on campus. And I know they've done a really good job of trying to make him like almost like injury free and you know, making sure that he's not going to have these kind of things like a back injury pop up again or some of the other stuff he's had. And I think he's definitely built to withstand some stuff better. You know, he looks like he's in great shape. You know, so I think that's a great, great sign.
You know, when you look at the schedule, of course, Lindenwood is the first game on the season. It's going to be hard to tell.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tell anything about this team, to be real truthful, I think you would probably agree with that. But then you have Illinois. I mean, Illinois is a football team that, you know, anymore with the portal, it's hard to tell what a team looks like and how it's shaping up and what it's becoming. But Illinois is going to be a really great test. But then you go UNLV, you go West Virginia, you go TCU, you go Arizona State. I'm not sure you're tested for a little while. What's the things that you want to see out of the first four or five games? Because they're the first four or five games, I think you would agree that those games are winnable. But what's the one thing you want to see out of this team to say, yeah, this is really a quality team. This is what we thought they would be. What do you need to see out of the first three, four, five games?
You know, I'm not worried about the skill positions on either side of the ball. I'm worried about the lines. I want to see on the defensive side, can they get to the quarterback? Every year, Kansas has had guys come out of nowhere. 2 years ago, it was Lonnie Phelps. Last year was Austin Booker. Who's the guy this year? Or is it going to be by committee? Oh. And if it's by committee, who's going to consistently get to the QB? Mm-hmm. And that's my question on the defensive end. And the offensive line is, can you keep Jalen Daniels healthy with this new-look offensive line group? There's not as much continuity from last year. There's two new starters. There are guys who have left for the NFL. Dominic Pooney, as we've seen in the preseason, is a very, very good player. Can his replacements do as good or nearly as good as a job as what he was doing last year? That's my thing. If those things go well, I'm not worried about this Kansas football team. I think, you know, last year, looking at the games that they lost, they were all winnable. Not to say that some of the games that they won were also not losable. The Oklahoma game came down the last second, et cetera. But this Kansas team has continuity. They have, you know, a coach that's been there a while that's built a culture around this team. Now the question is, there's been guys that have left on both sides of the ball on the lines. Can they keep up what they've been doing the last year and the year before that?
Sri Islada joining us right now, KC Star, KU Hoops and football reporter. Of course, we've all got football on the mind right now. You can follow him on social media at SHRE98. Shreyas, I want to go back to quarterback for just a second because Jason Bean has been the safety blanket of this team. He was released by the Colts, unfortunately, yesterday. Hopefully he finds a landing spot after his really nice offseason, mm-hmm. But he's not there. He's not in Lawrence anymore. He has been what has salvaged these seasons. What about if we are concerned, and I think it's fair, about the, you know, the availability of Jalen Daniels for every game? What about Ballard? Is Ballard taking the steps to provide them what they've had in Bean over the last? He flashed to me, and you know, maybe there's baked in growth. How has he looked to you, and what does the team expect of him?
you know, I think expectations are very high. The fact they didn't go out in the portal and pick up another quarterback, they said, hey, you are a former third string walk-on. We think you're ready to be a backup. You know, he competed with Isaiah Marshall for the role, and that was a competition, I heard. Like, you know, like both of them look really good during camp from everything the coaching staff said and just kind of what, you know, had kind of perspired. I mean, even talking to Lance at Big 12 Media Days, he talked about the leap Ballard has made in so many ways, right? Like the big thing for him was learning, hey, when do I throw the ball away instead of trying to make a hero ball play, you know? And he crosses that line between, you know, this incredible throw and like, you know, making a mistake. You know, there's a very delicate line. And Lance has talked about, you know, how he's learning to be better about that. And Isaiah Marshall, you know, the true freshman, I've heard really good things about him. He seems to be quite a standout. You know, like I think if you looked at where this quarterback room is compared to last year, I'd say it's even better. Maybe the top end talent, you know, maybe there isn't as maybe Ballard is not quite as good as what Bean is at this point. The fact that, you know, 1 through 3, though, that I think could all play college football games somewhere in the nation. You know, and I think that is a really valuable thing. And Ballard has had a good camp. You know, the coaching staff really, really likes him. Lance really, really likes him. And I think you can go in and do a lot of the same stuff that you were doing with Jalen with Ballard. Maybe you can't be as, you know, dual threat quarterbacky. You maybe you can't do some of the run stuff a little bit, but, you know, he can make the throws. And, you know, I remember talking to Jalen before Ballard ever even played a game. And he told me, he was like, man, that guy can play. You know, like, trust me, he can play. He can play. And that was before when Ballard was a third string walk-on. You know, like he talked, raved about him back then. So just like having that, you know, continuity from last year is big. And it seems like having the offseason for Ballard has been really, really, really big in getting into better shape, in playing in a more controlled environment, and having those that, you know, you get that chance to play against two Big 12 teams, you know, as a third string walk-on freshman. That's invaluable experience, I think, you know, that you don't necessarily always get.
And we hope there's a chance those backups can play against Lindenwood, because KU will get out to such a big lead, and Jalen Daniels looks fantastic. The game is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So we'll be ready for it. You know, we don't expect a test or anything for KU, but we do have some things we want to look at. And I think you've done a nice job of setting those up for us. So what else can we expect? What else can we find at the KC Star right now that you've got going?
Yeah, obviously I have my, you know, prediction stuff, some of the stuff from press conference, et cetera. I'm going to probably have later this week a kind of a small feature in Tabor Allen, who won the kicking job. Last 2 years, he was the place kicker. And, you know, he kind of opened up to me about how he's been waiting for an opportunity like this. And Lance talked about how he was the most consistent out of some of the guys they brought in, which I think is pretty cool. I'll have my film breakdown with former quarterback Carter Stanley come out today. We just filmed it yesterday, just kind of talking about what KU needs to do. Just, you know, typical KU stuff. And tomorrow we'll have plenty of coverage, takeaways, and a post-game story too. And excited for the season start.
Real quick, who do you got winning the conference?
I have Kansas in the Big 12 championship game. I don't know who they're facing in the Big 12 championship.
Oh, for God's sakes.
You know?
For God's sakes.
I think it's probably either Utah or Kansas State that they play in the Big 12 championship.
That's accurate. I think that could be.
Hey, let's all just sit here and wonder about the possibility of three games between Kansas and Kansas State this year. How about that?
Wow. How about that? Yeah, and let's shirts next time.
That's right, Sharice. Dig it out. Go find
let's
one.
Go. Let's go.
Let's make it a thing. Join the movement here on Wednesdays. Help get you through the week. KU, tomorrow, follow Sharice's work before, during, and after the game. You'll find it all at SHRE98 and, of course, at the KC Star. Sharice, we appreciate it. Nice start to the season, and here we go.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Sharice Latta. Don't forget, we've got one giveaway for you going this hour. We're about to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Kevin Saul joining us. We'll get caught up on Shocker Athletics, get his take on some potential transfer changes as well. That's coming as we start the next hour. We'll have our Cody Jinks ticket giveaway in the next hour as well. Appreciate Sharice for stopping by for the first time. Good stuff there. You can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app or at kfhradio.com. Paul and I will be back with Kevin Saul when we return on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.